Hebrews chapter 6. We'll begin in verse number 11. Hebrews 6 and 11. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Maybe we'll stop there. I know we could read more, but you know, I'd just like to think about this strong consolation that those that are genuinely saved, those that have really been born again, thank God for a strong consolation. And you know, I believe that we might look at this scripture and we might think about the great trouble. You know, there's lots of trouble, lots of trials, lots of tribulations today. And I know this, I know the devil would like for you to quit. He'd like for you to just throw in the towel, just give up, just say, well, there's just no hope. I just don't see any way that this is going to happen. Well, I just say this, thank God the Lord can make things happen when it looks impossible. Right. The truth is, it is impossible with man. But the Lord, you know this, that when God Almighty says something, that is it. That's the finish. That's the conclusion. That's the end. When Almighty God makes a promise, ladies and gentlemen, that is done. That's a finished promise. So let's just walk through this scripture for just a minute or two. So he's desiring that every one of us be diligent, steadfast, full assurance of a hope unto the end. So is there something there to make us doubt? Is there things going on to make us maybe think about not being diligent, not being steadfast unto the end? Is there trials? Is there tribulation? Is there trouble? Are we disappointed? Has it went a different way than what we thought? Is it gone in a manner that we wasn't expecting? Have things happened in our lives, in the lives, in our world, in our families, that we never, never expected it would go like this? Well, you know what? God Almighty is aware that that's going to happen to me and going to happen to you and going to happen in your family, going to happen in my family. But listen to what he says to us in verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the end, to full assurance of hope unto the end. What am I hoping in? Well, I'm going to say this, that he's going to give us an example of Abraham in a minute. You know what Abraham was hoping in? You might say, well, he was hoping in an Isaac. Let's look farther to something that would apply to me and to you. He was looking into the hope of the promise of the Word of God. He was looking unto the hope of what God said. Isn't that right now? God said, I'm going to give you a son. But do I need a son? But do I need a fulfillment of what God said? I need the fulfillment of what God said. I need the fulfillment of what God promised. So God, and that hope, that word here, just think about this, how this word, how this is said. So he says to us that to lay hold upon the hope that was set before us. That's down in verse number 18. So what do we have? What do we have today? Do we have a word of promise? Do we have an announcement? That word of hope. Yes. That is an announcement from God. Right. God announced to Abraham that he was going to have a son. Now I want you to know this. To everyone that is an heir of promise. You know how I became an heir? Almighty God made me an heir. I became an heir, and Abraham became an heir, and Isaac became an heir because of the announcement and the promise of God. So, in this verse 11, we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, if I give in to the devil, I'm not going to inherit what God has promised unto me individually. Right. Now you might say, well, now God promised it. It's as good as done. Well, I want you to think about this. Is there any joy that goes with the promise? Is there any faith that goes with the promise? How about between the time that God promises and the time of fruition, is there anything for me to do? Do I need to be faithful? Do I need to be patient? Do I need to endure? Do I need to hold on to the promise of God? Do I need to hold on to that and believe God? Well, there's my part, ladies and gentlemen. God is faithful, is He not? His Word says that He's faithful. So do I need to look unto the promise and be diligent and be steadfast and endure and be patient? That word there means to be long-spirited. Think about a man that Almighty God promised him a son and promised that through that son He was going to bless him. And you know, you and I are blessed today through that son, through the promise that God, the announcement that God made to Abraham. I have a strong consolation today. I have a mighty consolation today. I have a consolation today. A friend, you just think about the world we're living in. If all the world falls away, do you have something to trust in? You know something? If I continue to keep my eyes on what I can see, I'm going to be disappointed. We're going to have to look beyond that under the announcement and the promise of God to find the strong consolation. Right. The consolation is not in how I feel. It's not in what's going on in our world. It's not even in the church house. I tell you, you talk about a place to find discouragement and, friend, to find disappointment. Go down to the church house and, friend, you know what you'll find there? You'll find the people lots and lots of times. I can see John Wayne shaking his head and may very well have experienced it this morning. I've experienced it a many a time. You know what you're going to do? You're going to get up and you're going to try to help the people and give them a word from God, and there's no interest. That's the truth. That's the way that it is. And it goes from Rex getting up to singing the first song, a friend of Kevin or Anthony or one of these other men getting up and open the Sunday school, to the ladies in the Sunday school class, a friend to the preacher getting up. It's the same way all over. A friend, if you're going to look at the outside, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be disappointed. But thank God we've got a strong consolation because Almighty God made a promise. And friend, you know what He made a promise of? Anthony already said it. I believe it's been said more than once this morning. Thank God we've got a God who cannot lie. I've got a consolation there. I mean, I'm talking about I've got a strong consolation, a forceful consolation, a mighty consolation, a consolation, a friend that man cannot take away. That's what we need to be anchored in. Let's look. So the Word of God says, I want you to be diligent. I want you to stay with it. I desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence. Now what's our example of this diligence? Well, we could look here at Abraham. But we know that Abraham veered off from time to time, didn't he? The Lord Jesus never veered off, did he? He never veered away. But we still got Abraham as our example and the father of faith, right? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God before he ever offered Isaac. Abraham believed God when God told him the first time. Did his faith get weak? It may very well have. It may very well have, and somewhere about 12 years into it, you think about it with me, our friend Ishmael was 13 when Isaac was born. So somewhere around 12 years into his faithfulness unto God, and that promise was made unto him and to his wife, about 12 years into that, it looks like they didn't think God was going to come through, didn't it? And Sarah said, why don't you go into my handmaid and have a child? It doesn't look like, and I don't mean to say this in any way wrong, but it doesn't look like that God is going to give us a son the way that we thought. So I believe maybe what God meant was he was going to give us a son through Hagar. No, that wasn't the plan of God. No, that wasn't the promise of God. That wasn't the announcement of God. So, know this. That if Abraham... And you know, this might be saying a whole lot, but I believe the Bible will back it up. If Abraham was a man who could grow weak in faith, if Abraham was a man who could doubt God, if Abraham was a man who could lie, if Abraham was a man who could misunderstand the promise of God, if Abraham was a man who instead of believing God and believing that he was going to have a son through Sarah, who was dead and her womb was dead and Abraham was dead, friend, if Abraham could lose sight of that for a while, you know what God did? God come back again, didn't he? Didn't he come back about 24 years into it? Thank God I've got a strong consolation. You've got a strong consolation. You may feel like, well, I just don't know. I just can't find it. Well, I'll tell you through and by the Word of God, know this. We're going to look at it, and I hope God will help you today to realize that we have a strong consolation. Listen to what the Bible says. We desire. We don't want you to be slothful. We want you to be followers of them who faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made promise, when God made an announcement, when God made promise unto Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Now you imagine this. You imagine this, friend, that Almighty God made a promise and God swore by himself that it was going to be true. You know, I might say this. I might say, Anthony, I'm going to be there tomorrow morning. I swear. And I might even say this and not mean it in the wrong way. I swear to God, I'm going to be there. You know, I'm making an oath unto Anthony. And I'm calling God in now, Lord. You know I'm making this oath. I mean to be true, and Lord, if I'm not true to this, then Lord, you bring the consequences. We go to the court of law, and friend, whether it's practiced today or not, I don't know, but I believe that we'd like to get away from it, but lay their hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. But you know something? Almighty God had no greater to swear by, and he said, I'm going to make you a promise, Abraham, and I'm going to swear to it. Don't you reckon that that's going to come true? Can God
Can God lie? Can God back up on His promise? Can God say I made a mistake? Can God fall by the wayside and say, well, something hindered me. I'm not able to do it. Thank God. God swore by Himself. And if I have that consolation and that God and that promise and a God who would swear unto Abraham by Himself, what in the world am I looking to today? I've got a strong consolation. Thank God I've got one that brought me into the family of God. If you're saved today, listen to what the Word of God says. And He said, for when God made promise unto Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by Himself. So what do we have here? Let me ask you this. That promise that was made to Abraham, who made that promise? Do you believe that it could be like this? That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost was all in agreement and all on board with the promise that was made to Abraham. So you mean to tell me that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is going to back up on what He has promised unto the church, unto those that are redeemed, unto the heirs of promise? No, ma'am, and no, sir. I tell you, that's a promise made by the determinate counsel of Almighty God. Friend, that's a promise made by the eternal God. That's a promise made by the omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful, friend, ruler of the world. Heaven and earth will bow down before Him. Thank God, what a promise and what a guarantee that we've got. We ought to be resting on the promises of the blessed God in heaven who cannot lie.
Right. Amen.
Have you got a strong consolation today? Preacher, my faith is weak. I just feel like the world's steamrolling me. Well, let me tell you this. I may get steamrolled and I may get weak, but know this, God cannot back up on His promise. There's my consolation. There's my strong consolation. There's my hope. My hope is in that God said. God said. Friend, that's all I need is for God to say. Friend, it doesn't matter how I feel, what I think, what the circumstance of the world. You know something? It doesn't even matter. Friend, if God is spoke to me about my family, about my people, it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter the road they're going down. It doesn't matter how hopeless or helpless it looks like. If God said, that's all that matters. So by the determinate counsel, there was a promise made. By the eternal, everlasting Word of God that cannot be changed, the one that said He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and changeth not, God does not have to change His mind. How would you change the mind of perfection? How would the perfect mind of God, now I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about God Almighty. Has He ever made a decision that was wrong? Has He ever made a promise that didn't come true? Has He ever said anything that He had to go back and correct Himself? No, ma'am, and no, sir. God said, thank God. God said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Now listen, Abraham's got two sons. But you know who these verses right here are made to? They're made to the heirs of promise. Ishmael was not a promise. Ishmael was not a promise. And you might have a problem with that. But I'll tell you this, God Almighty is going to bring to pass His promise. God is going to bring that belongs to Him. He's going to bring that in. And friend, whether you'll believe it or not, 25 years before Isaac was ever born, he was the promise of God. 2,500 years before Abraham was ever born, in the realm of time, in the infinite mind of God Almighty, Isaac was going to be the promise unto Abraham. And through Isaac, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come. And friend, you know something? Abraham thought that the promise would be in Ishmael. Let Ishmael live. Oh, let him stand before God. That was not the promise. I tell you who the promise is. The promise is for those that are born through and by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, by the hand of Almighty God. That's who is going to inherit the promise. Abraham's got two sons. And one of them's by the flesh, and one of them's by the Spirit of God. And you may differ with that, you may want to argue with that, but I want to tell you this, by the Word of God, Paul wrote this, that Abraham was a dead man. And his wife was a woman who was beyond childbearing, and her womb was dead. Do you know how that Isaac came into the world? It was by the hand of Almighty God. Friend, you know how I came in to be an heir, and you became an heir? Through the hand of God. You might say, well, I started coming to church and I started doing better. You're still an Ishmael. You may be some great man. You may have a big family. But I'll tell you what, the promises of God are not unto you. Friend, those that come through and by the flesh, those are not the promises of God. All of you. Israel is not. Friend, all that's of Israel is not Israel. I tell you who God's going to bless. He's going to bless those that come by promise. He's going to bless those that come through the Word of God. He's going to bless those that He calls. He's going to bless those that God does a work in their heart and does a work in their life. And friend, that's the only one that the promises. And you know something? If I'm going to be an heir, I'm going to have to be in the family of God. This right here, folks, ain't for our world today.
No,
it's not. This is not for the United States today.
No.
It's not for Israel, the country of Israel today. This is for the Israel of God. This is for those that are saved. This is for those that are through and by the promise. These are this promise and friend, this consolation that you and I have today are for those that have been born again. Friend, you know it's sort of, I believe it's sort of like this. Friend, by Mary was brought in the Son of God, and we might call that the Immaculate Conception. Friend, because she was a virgin. Well, I want to tell you, friend, that everyone that's ever saved and born again, you're going to come in the same way. Friend, the Holy Ghost of God is going to come over you. Friend, that is dead like it was in Sarah's womb. Friend, there was a deadness. Friend, Abraham was a dead man. I'll tell you, God Almighty made him alive that they could have a child. We're going to have to be brought in by the hand of God. You have your name on Liberty Baptist Church. That don't make a hill of beans in the promises of God. Your name on the church roll don't mean anything. You being baptized, that don't mean a thing. If there's not a baptism of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, that don't mean a thing. I tell you who this is. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, and so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Friend, you know what he got? He got, friend, the announcement that was made. The announcement that was made come to fruition. What God promised, what God brought down the word, friend, unto Abraham, Almighty God brought that to fruition. God brought the promise unto life.
Right.
Life. Think with me. Out of a dead man and a dead woman, God brought life. What did he do for me and you? Out of a dead man, out of a dead woman, God Almighty brought life. It was the Word of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit. That's what brought life. Do we have a consolation today? Listen to what the Bible says. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation. To them, an end of all strife. So that word confirmation, that means stablement. Would you like to have something that is stable? So I'm going to swear, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to tell something in the court, and I'm going to lay my hand on the Bible and I'm going to say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. There's my stability. So do we need a confirmation? This is what the Bible says. And men verily swear by the greater. An oath for confirmation is to them an end for all things. Wherein God, willing to more abundantly, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. So God said it. Now I'm going to get up and I'm going to swear to the people and unto God to tell the truth. Do you reckon God can do anything but tell the truth? Can God do anything but tell the truth? He cannot lie. It's not His will to lie. It's not His nature to lie. And it is against the Word of God for God to lie. So if God made a promise unto you, and if God saved you, and if God, a friend, has brought you to this place that you are today, though it may be filled with trials and tribulation and trouble and sorrow and disappointment, know this, ladies and gentlemen, how that God Almighty that made the promise is still true. Wherein, God willing, isn't that something? That God is willing to abundantly, more. God wants you to have something more. God wants you to have an abundant confirmation. God wants you to be able to see. He wants you to be able to trust. He wants you to put your faith and trust in His Word. And God is going to give us something greater. He's willing. Oh, thank God that we've got a God that's willing, our friend, to give an abundance that we might have a confirmation, we might have a steadfastness, that we might know we're not going to fall, we're not going to plunder, we're not going to hell, we're not going to lose our salvation. Oh, preacher, I don't believe in all of that. Well, you may not believe in that, but I'll tell you what, sometimes we doubt it, don't we? Wherein? Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about man swears. We're talking about that man swears. Wherein? That's what we're talking about in verse number 16, right? Man swearing. That's the end. There's my stability. There's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on this. I'm counting on, friend, that Greg laid his hand on the Bible and he promised before God that he's going to tell the truth. God is more willing than that. I tell you, God's willing to give you an abundant confirmation. God is willing to show you something, a friend, to let you know. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise. Are you an heir of promise? Now let's check and see. Did God call us? Was there a miraculous birth? Was there a birth that came through the announcement of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit upon a life that was dead? Has there been a son and daughter of God born out of something that was dead? Are we? Are we heirs? Are we those that have been called out of darkness into light? Are we a man, a woman, a boy, a girl? Are we someone that has been called out of death and been called into life? Have we had, a friend, the experience? And friend, you know what that experience is? That experience is a new birth. We were dead. You say, oh no, preacher, I wasn't dead.
Paul said you were dead. And Paul wrote it down. Really, God said you were dead. God said you were dead. We've been looking at it for quite a little while. But in Ephesians chapter number 2, and you have he quickened who were dead. How in the world can a man be made alive who was dead? It'll take the power of God. I tell you this, that it won't be an Abraham and a Sarah. It won't be a Cameron and a Carmen. It won't be a Chris and a Heather. My friend, it won't be an Anthony. It won't be a Vaughn. It won't be a Charles. It'll take Almighty God to do a work in your heart, my friend, to bring life out of something and someone who is dead. It'll take the work of God. There's a pile of people have never been dead. That's the honest to God truth. That's why that our churches are filled with lost people today. Because people have never ever envisioned themselves in the sight of God as being dead. They've never realized that in the sight of God, you know, here I am, I'm going to church and I'm doing pretty good. I'm a pretty good man. I'm a pretty good lady. I'm taking care of my family. I love my wife. I love my children. I pay my bills. You know what all that is? All of that's fleshly. The Lord didn't come to be a physician to them that are well. The Lord didn't come to bring any children out of Hagar. The Lord didn't come to make a family out of Hagar. He came to make a family out of a dead man and a dead woman, a friend out of a promise.
So, wherein God,
willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs a promise to shew. You know what he wants to do? I tell you, he wants to pull the cover off of it. He wants us to be aware of the promises that is made to those that are saved and born again. He wants us to be aware. He doesn't want it to be hidden. God, wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability. So God is not going to change. He's going to show his unchangeableness to who? And you think with me, how long did Job go through his trial? Do you know? I really don't know exactly how long he went through his trial. But I know this, in the end, he had more sons and more daughters and more flocks and more herds. There was quite a long period of time there because if I'm thinking right, he had 2 or 3 daughters and 5 to 7 sons. So there's quite a few years went by there, wasn't there? I mean, after the trial was over, there was quite a period of time there before God brought the completeness and the fullness of the promise that he made unto Job. And do you know something? God did not change his mind from chapter 1 to chapter 40. God did not change his mind about Job, but Job was patiently enduring the chastening, the tribulation, the trial, friend, that the devil was trying to bring upon him. And friend, the devil said, does Job fear God for naught? I'll tell you that Job feared God for absolutely nothing outward. He feared God for the promise that he had in here. He served God because of the promise that he had on the inside. Not the outward circumstance. Not his wealth, not his family, not his wife, not his friends, not his health. None of those things. He did not serve God for any of those things. He did not fear God for any of those things. But I'll tell you, in the end, Job showed the patient enduring that the promise of God was true. Right. He had a strong. I believe it's in chapter 13.
I might be wrong. Though he slay me, did it not look like? Now you just imagine this, that you lost every child that you had. The grief, the sorrow. You lost every monetary, ever comfort that there was. All taken away. And that was not enough. No, then the devil come back and let me touch him. Let me touch his body. Let me make him to deny you. But I tell you, Job had a forceful, a mighty consolation. Job had a comfort. Job had a word from God. Job had something that saw him through when there was absolutely nothing to lay his eye on. We better have that, folks. We better have that in our life. But know this, God willing, wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. So now you tell me this. You know, if I promise, is that good enough? Well, maybe. Maybe you'll take me at my promise. But what if I promise and then I make an oath? Would you think that I was more serious? Would you think that I had all intentions of carrying forth and coming through with what I promised when I make an oath before God? So God Almighty made a promise, and then God swore to it. How much greater can you get? I mean, we're not talking about a God who's going to fail. We're not talking about a God who's going to be hindered. We're not talking about a God like the worshipers of Baal had, who might have been asleep or might have been on a journey. We're talking about Almighty God who promised and then he swore to the promise.
Right.
What a consolation that you and I ought to have. Are you an heir? You see, there's some things here that this hinge on. We've got to be an heir. I got to be an heir of the promise of Abraham. I got to be an heir through and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got to be an heir through Him. Let's look just a little more. And I'm sorry I'm long-winded. You bear with us just another few minutes if you can. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope, the confidence, the experience, the expectation set before us. So, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, so God cannot lie. It's against His nature. It's against the Word of God. It's against His will for God to lie. Impossible for Him to lie. We might have a strong consolation. Who? Who can have a strong consolation? Heirs. Heirs who have fled for refuge. Now you just think with me a minute. Why would I run? Why would I run for refuge? Why would you run from God? He's going to kill us. He's going to kill us. I believe we're looking back in the Old Testament. And we're looking back to those cities of refuge. You remember that?
Yeah.
I believe it's in Joshua chapter 20, maybe in Deuteronomy as well, possibly in Numbers. But you know what happened? Let's just read just a verse or two there. I'm going to read Joshua 20, verse 9. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hands of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. So what's happened in the Old Testament? What's happened? So what's happened is I've killed somebody accidentally. I've killed somebody accidentally, and the Lord set a place for me to run to, because the avenger of blood is after me to take my life. I've taken the life of someone's kin. I have killed him. I didn't mean to. It wasn't my intention to. I didn't hate them before, but I have taken someone's life. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to flee. I'm going to run to the city of refuge. I'm going to run there that I might prove my innocence, that the people in the congregation, the jury, if you will, that they're going to say, well, you know, I never knew of him having a problem with that man. I never knew of them having a conflict. I never knew of them hating one another. I never heard him say that when he got a chance, he was going to do him harm. Until he stood before the congregation, there was a place to flee to. You know what's happened? There's been innocent blood shed. How is man today? I tell you what man is today. We may not hate our neighbor. We may not wish to kill our neighbor. But I tell you what man is. Man's a God hater. Man is a hater of God. Man is a hater of the Word of God. That's what he is. So I want you to bear this in mind. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood at the cross. And friend, He died to fulfill the law. So every one of us, now you think with me, every one of us are guilty of the law. By the law of God, we were slain. Paul said, I was alive without the law once, but sin revived and I died. So the law killed every one of us. Okay? You believe that? You believe that you are guilty by the law. By the law of God, every one of us are found guilty. Jesus Christ died on the cross to fulfill the law. So if I do not flee unto Christ, if I don't believe, ladies and gentlemen, now let me tell you this, that the avenger of blood is on his way. The avenger of the innocent blood is on his way. There is one place that you and I can flee to. We can flee not to a city, not to a jury, not before the congregation. We flee to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that paid the debt and paid the innocent blood. Friend, I just want you to think on this, that if you are never saved, if you never realize that the enemy, the avenger, the law, Almighty God and the wrath of God is after you, there'll never be any reason for you to flee. But those that inherit the promises of God, those that have a strong consolation are those that are heirs and those that fled for refuge. Oh, friend, you know what I'm going to be without Jesus Christ? I'm going to be guilty of the innocent blood that was shed. The book of Acts, two times, probably a lot more, but two times, in the early part of the book of Acts, listen to what Peter said. Peter said in chapter number 2, "You men of Israel," 22, 2 and 22, the book of Acts, "You men of Israel,
hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as you yourselves have also known, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. The just one, the innocent one, the one that fulfilled the law. You know where man is going to have to run to? Friend, the only reason I'm going to run is because I'm afraid. And friend, you know what I need to be afraid of? I need to be afraid of the wrath of God. Because if I'm not going to come, friend, unto the Lord Jesus Christ and put my faith and my trust, you know what's going to happen? The avenger. Who is going to avenge the blood of Jesus? Is any man going to avenge the blood of Jesus? God Almighty is going to avenge the blood of His own Son. And if you are an heir, and if you have fled for refuge, it's because there was a fear. A friend, many, many, many sit in the church pew today. A friend that have never feared, never run for their life, never believed that they were going to die, never believed that the wrath of God was upon them, never believed that they were guilty of the blood of the Son of God. I'll tell you something, there's no consolation if you've not run for fear of your life. People believe just whatever they want to and just discount and throw away the Word of God. Have you ever fled for your life? Have you? Have you ever fled with a fear that God Almighty was going to kill you? Have you? I wonder, have you? Stephen said it again. Chapter 7, verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers? Who's he talking to? He's talking to a religious crowd of Jews. I'll tell you what he's talking to. He's talking to a bunch of Ishmaels. He's talking to a bunch of people that are lined up with Abraham in the flesh and have never ever become a child of God through the promise of the Word and the working of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. So there has to be a circumcision of the heart and the ear. Who in the world is going to circumcise a man's heart? Huh? That's it. He's going to do it without hands too. You know, John Wayne, I sent him a note the other day, and he said they're going to do a circumcision on Josiah. And after that, we're going to go home. I tell you, there was hands involved. There was a doctor's hands involved. But you know, to that child of God, that heir of the promise, to that one that's fled for refuge, friend, there was a circumcision made there. And friend, it was without hands. It was by the Holy Spirit of God. It was by the hand of Almighty God, not the hands of man. But it was by the circumcision of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. God cut away the foreskin of our heart. Our friend made us, gave us a new heart. Our friend gave us a new life. Our friend declared us to be innocent and made us to be an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. What a consolation.
Amen.
Have you fled? You ever feared God enough to run to the altar? You know what they did? You know what they did in the Old Testament? They ran afraid. Right on the heels was a group of the family of the one that shed the innocent blood. I wonder who the family would be that is going to avenge the blood of the Lord Jesus. Do you reckon it would be Almighty God and the Holy Ghost? Do you reckon the family is right on the heel of that man, that boy, that girl that's lost and undone today, that's never ran for fear? Friend, do you know this? I want you to know today that God Almighty and the Holy Ghost is right on your heels today. And friend, you have never ever fled to the city of refuge. But know this, when they fled, you know where they went? To the temple. Grabbed hold of the horns of the altar where the blood was. You know, we're all guilty of the blood of the Lord Jesus. We're all guilty. And if you and I are not willing to run in fear of God, if we're not willing to yield ourselves unto God Almighty, I tell you, the Avenger, God and the Holy Spirit, is going to avenge upon every one of you the blood, the innocent blood, the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Stephen said, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which shewed therefore before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers?" Now let me ask you, do you think that verse applies to us today? Or does that only apply to 34 A.D.? 33 is what I've got in my Bible, whether that be true or not. Do you reckon that's the only people that applies to?
No, everybody.
Am I a murderer and a betrayer of the Son of God? The just one, the innocent one. What should I do? I tell you, I ought to flee for refuge. I ought to run like my life depended on it. I ought to run, ladies and gentlemen, because the honest to God truth is my life does depend on it. If you're not willing to run to the Lord Jesus, grab hold of the horns of the altar where He shed His blood, I tell you that God Almighty is going to require His blood at your hands.
Amen.
The blood of the Son of God is going to be required. Now, what do you think? Do you think that a mark on your life, like He put on Esau, or like He put on Cain, do you reckon that'll be sufficient? Oh, no. No, I don't believe that'll do it. What do you think? Would it be good enough if God just killed us? That's what He did in Moses' day when they broke the law. What do you think would be worthy of Him who has trodden underfoot the blood of the Son of God and the covenant that He made? The New Testament that He gave that you and I could be innocent and be free from our sin. What do you think God ought to do to that man and that woman who trods underfoot that covenant and that blood? You see, there's both sides right here. By two immutable things, it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Which hope? What's your hope in? What's your hope in today? Well, it was the announcement from God. So it's the Word of God. It's the Gospel. It's the good news. The good news is that Jesus came and died in your place. There's the hope set before us. There's the hope that's before our eyes. There's the hope that you have. And you know what that hope is? That hope is an anchor of the soul.
Right.
Thank God I don't have to be moved by every wind and every doctrine and every eye and every face that I see and the disappointments of this life, I thank God that I've got an anchor, ladies and gentlemen, then that is within the veil. That is upon what's behind the veil, the Word of God, the announcement, the gospel, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is where my hope is anchored. What a consolation. What a consolation. Now listen, just a second. That consolation means this: an exhorting, a comfort, a solace, a calling near, an encouragement, and a refreshing. You know what I can have? When it looks like everything's falling all to pieces, God says, I want you to know something. I've got a strong, forcible word of encouragement for you. And I swore to that, and I swear to that, and I will not and cannot change my mind. In blessing, I will bless you.